Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It happens all the time. Loved ones go missing, disappearing without a trace. Sometimes we hear about them on the local news and sometimes even on the national news. But what determines that? What determines who we hear about and how much? Well, tonight we're going to talk about that issue ahead of a new HBO documentary series set for release tomorrow, Black and Missing. It features two crusading women who have been carrying the banner for people of color who have disappeared, but not always getting the attention other communities have received. My guests are Natalie Wilson and Derricka Wilson, founders of the Black and Missing Foundation. Lines are open if you have a comment or question about this really important issue at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Natalie, Derricka, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
You are no strangers to this program and to the DMV. You have been, as I said, working on this issue for many, many years. But this is a big step, HBO and the documentary. Explain to us how this came about.
Well, Harold, first of all, again, thank you for having us. It
sure.
came about, we were approached by Soledad O'Brien, and she is a veteran. She's in the news business. She's a Black woman, and she has a production company. And she wanted to use her voice, her influence, her platform to highlight this issue and to show what not only we face, the challenges that we face as an organization in getting media coverage and law enforcement assistance for these families, but how devastating it is to know that 40% of all persons missing are of color, which is very eye-opening.
You talked about the challenges that your organization has faced. Talk to me about that.
You know, with these families, they're facing challenges with getting law enforcement to even support the cases. For example, when we have a child that's missing and the families go to law enforcement, they're oftentimes classified as a runaway. Runaways are not receiving the Amber Alert, and there really doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. And when it comes to missing adults in the Black and brown community, their case is oftentimes associated with some sort of criminal activity, and they're really, you know, desensitized and dehumanized. So those are some of the challenges that we face with the families in this fight.
How do you know whether or not a child of in our community is a runaway versus whether or not something untoward has happened to them?
Well, Harold, first and foremost, we need to get rid of that term runaway. You know, if you were to look at a flyer right now, one says runaway, one says missing. The messaging is not created equal. And when you're asking for the general public to assist in finding this child that's missing, they're not as likely to share a runaway. There really doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. So, you know, we have to applaud the Metropolitan Police Department because they decided to get rid of that term runaway, and all the children are classified as critical missing. They're children. And we have to find them. We all know that human trafficking is a huge issue in this country. We know that there's a correlation between missing persons and mental health. We have to find them. And more importantly, if they are running away, we have to understand what are they running from and who are they running to.
But you just mentioned three separate things. You mentioned human trafficking. You mentioned somebody who may be a runaway, and you mentioned critical missing. And all of those, you said if they are perhaps running from something, that may be a different thing from a mental health thing. That may be a different thing from a trafficking thing. And so to the point of my question and to the point of dealing with, you know, with the police, you know, how do they and how do we in our concerned community know the difference?
Well, first and foremost, we have to classify them appropriately. They mm-hmm. are missing. And that's the first thing. The underlying issue is those other things that I label, but we have to classify them appropriately in the beginning stages, because we all play a part. So when the classification is done appropriately, then we can get the media involved to share these cases, and then here comes the community, see something and say something. But when you are, you know, putting out a flyer that may have a mugshot on it, you know, because law enforcement may choose not to use the picture that the family has provided, people are not really willing to share. Or, if you put a flyer out that has runaway, they're not really willing to share. They're missing. But, again, we have to understand what are those underlying issues that's causing them to go missing in the first place.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Black and missing, not just the issue, but also a four-part HBO series. Starts tomorrow. It is about the issue of Black and missing people of color who may not get the attention that other communities do when people in our community go missing. My guests are Natalie Wilson and Derica Wilson. They are the founders of the Black and Missing Foundation. If you have a comment or a question, we invite you to call. One of the things that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was you, Natalie, who kind of coined the term missing white woman syndrome, or have at least brought that term to the fore. How would you define that?
So the term missing white woman syndrome was coined by the late great Gwen Ifill, and really what it means is that women of color rarely get any type of publicity or local or national coverage. And in order to get the coverage, we see the Natalie Holloway, the Chandra Levy, the Elizabeth Smart. So they're blonde, blue eyes, fairly attractive. And that's the image that the news media normally shill on their stations, and they, Gabby Petito, and these cases pick up traction, and they're dominating the news cycle.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe may be, and this is a deep dive into this question, because, and I think, you know, as a long time member of the media, working journalist, and this is something that, you know, I've struggled with some 35 years into this, not just working for Black organizations like WHUR, but also working in mainstream television, that we have wrestled with. What do you believe is the responsibility of the media in covering people of color who go missing, not just children, not just women, but people of color as a whole, because there are so many of them who do.
Right. And we understand that not everyone will get media coverage, but what we do say is less is more. So less of one individual dominating the news cycle and showing some of everyone else will greater the chance of a recovery, and it also puts pressure on law enforcement to add resources to the cases. I ask any of your listeners, can they name one
black or brown missing person that has gotten national media coverage. I'm sure that they can't, but there are certain cases that continue to dominate the news cycle, and there needs to be fairness and there needs to be balance in the newsroom. And what we're seeing, and we hope that we can take away from this docuseries, is a shift in the conversation where these media outlets are really taking a look at their biases in how they cover these cases. And you're right, it's not just women, but our men are disappearing at an alarming rate, our children as well. Derica mentioned sex trafficking. Since the pandemic, our caseload has increased because most of us are online and our children are as well, and they're becoming victims of sex trafficking, mental health issues. There's so many reasons why someone can go missing, but again, that media coverage is vital. And now that we're in a world of social media, utilizing those platforms, what we're seeing is that the media is being more reactive instead of proactive. They're reporting on cases as it's trending, but we need them to use their platform to make more cases trend and get more coverage.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about black and missing. If you have a comment, if you have a question, please join the conversation. Sean, calling from Maryland. There we go. Sean, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Mr. Harold and Black, Miss Natalie and Derica. This is Sean Wilkinson, the father of one of the participants in the documentary that will be airing tomorrow. And I just wanted to call in and say that two things. First, I appreciate all of the hard work that the Black and Missing Foundation has provided to myself and my family as we are going through looking for our loved one. And two, if you're out there listening, please donate to the foundation, whether it's your time or your finances, to keep their drive going, because it's very important that they continue to move forward in their efforts and everything that they are doing. And I do appreciate everything they have done for myself and my family.
Sean, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your phone call. If you can, at least briefly, for those who may not be familiar with your case, in a nutshell, could you please briefly encapsulate the situation that that Black and Missing has helped you with regarding who was missing with your family?
So my daughter, back in May of 2017, went missing. She was 8 months pregnant, about to go and have her baby in June of that month. And she went missing out of Baltimore, Maryland. And my wife called in to get assistance from Black and Missing. And through their efforts and their knowledge of Black and Browns being missing, they helped us establish a relationship with the Baltimore City Police Department, the Baltimore City FBI, the Assistant State's Attorney, and they have hand-walked us through how to keep our daughter, Akia Eggleston's name, alive in social media. From their efforts, we were able to go on to The View. Once we were on The View, her particular story went international. It was publicized in Italy, France, Paris, Germany, Russia, all over the world. Just did a recent interview because of their efforts with the Russian television organization that's posted in Washington, D.C. Did an interview with them. My daughter's been on People magazine because of Black and Missing's efforts. So, and because she was pregnant, you know, there's two people missing, mm-hmm. not just one. And they have struggled with me through staying on top of the Baltimore Police Department, staying on top of the Assistant State's Attorney, staying on top of all those different social media networks and avenues. And their platform is growing monumentally because of the efforts they're putting in and day out. So I appreciate everything they have done for myself and my family. and the loss of our loved one. And again, we are still fighting, praying, and hoping that through the documentary that will be aired tomorrow, that's, as Natalie Oderka have already said, that whoever saw something will have enough courage to step up and say something.
And you said you're still looking for your daughter.
Oh, yeah. We're not giving up on the fact that she is still alive until someone tells us something different. Not just her, but her son. She was 8 months pregnant with a baby boy that was going to be born in June of 2017.
Okay. Well, Sean, thank you so much for sharing with us, and we certainly hope for the best, you know, for you and your family, and we're certainly looking forward to finding out more as we watch this documentary. So thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Black and Missing, not just the HBO documentary, but all of the issues around people of color. What happens when they go missing? How do we keep these issues in the public eye so that any information that may be out there can help in locating people who are who disappear sometimes without a trace? Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm going to go to a break in about 30 seconds, but before we do, Derica, if there's information about Black and Missing that you want to share with us before we go to a break, websites or other information that you can share with our listeners, we would certainly appreciate it.
Yes, we encourage your listeners to visit bamfi.org. That's bamfi.org.
That's B as in boy, A, M as in Mary, FI.org.
That is correct.
Or I should say B as in Black, A, M as in Missing.
F as in Foundation, I as in Inc.org.
Yes. Okay, there we go. That's the website. We will share more about this conversation after the break, but please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2. Don't forget to download the app on your smartphone. You can hear the program live in its entirety as well as on 98.3 FM. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue in just a bit. I'm Harold Fisher. Stretch is next. He's in for John Mond with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR this conversation will continue in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about Black and Missing, an HBO documentary in a four-part series that will begin tomorrow on HBO. It's also going to be streaming on HBO Max for those of you who have that. It is about people of color who go missing but do not get the attention that other communities get. My guests tonight are Natalie Wilson and Derica Wilson. They are founders of the Black and Missing Foundation. If you have comments or questions about people of color who go missing, again, sometimes without a trace, and how to keep their names in the public eye and keep the community focused on that, and indeed finding them alive and well, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David, calling from D.C. David, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'd like to make one comment.
Sure.
Why I feel like so many of our people is coming up missing, and the reason why, and I know it might sound kind of wild and fetched, but we have a black market out there, and body parts, it really sells on the black market, and that's why they don't care about us coming up missing because they think don't nobody care for us. So we can be coming up missing because, like you say, ain't nothing going to happen when we come up missing. Thank you.
David, thank you for that. So, Derek or Natalie, do you have anything to any comments about that? You know, I think, you know, that is one of those longstanding conspiracy theories about, you know, the buying and selling of body parts and the like. You know, I question that. And David did say it may seem a tad bit far-fetched. I certainly do believe that, but certainly you two have your hands in this process much more than I, and probably hear much more about a great many things than I do. So your thoughts about what David is suggesting?
Well, Harold, people are disappearing for a number of reasons. Domestic violence, sex trafficking, some, again, are just wandering away, mental health. But there have been some cases where the individual was found and their organs were missing, eyes, internal organs were missing. And, you know, it's up to law enforcement to really dig deeper into these cases to see what's going on. Is organ, you know, festing, is it really an issue? I've heard other stories as well. So it's something that we need to take a deeper look at.
Let me ask you, and either one of you ladies can certainly chime in about this. One of the things that was mentioned, particularly as it relates to the Baltimore case, how do you keep these issues in the public eye, first of all? And is there an outline or a list, a criteria, if you will, that determines whether or not you will pursue a missing situation more than another? Because as we know, not all cases, not all missing situations are the same.
Absolutely. But these families, they're so important to us. And Natalie and I, our background, we use our expertise to create an organization to help these families. My background is law enforcement. Natalie's background is public media relations. And those are the two critical professions needed to help us find us. So when these families are coming to us, oftentimes we're their last resort. And we want to walk them through. We want to help them. We're giving ourselves to them because they've had the doors closed in their face by media outlets, by law enforcement. So we want to help them because time is of the essence. This is urgent. And we all have to do a better job of getting these cases out there. Again, you know, with this, you know, Baltimore case, just simply going out in the community, you know, and knocking on the doors, seeing if anyone's seen anything regarding IKEA, speaking with law enforcement, you know, demanding, you know, high-ranking officials to take interest in these cases. That's so important for these families. And with our organization, there must be a police report on file for us to get involved because we have to work with law enforcement. We have to work with our media partners.
But specifically, and I know, as you know, as a reporter and the like, and having been in the position that you're in, where time is of the essence, as you suggest, there are some hard questions that you have to ask and some uncomfortable questions that you have to ask families about missing children, missing people, that at times some families may be reticent to answer because all situations are not pristine. How do you handle those kinds of things? And because I'm trying to get I'm trying to get to a point. So that, and as I said, are there some issues? Because as you said in the beginning, if a child, if you believe that a child has run away, because even as I was watching the trailer, one of the families said, well, our daughter would never run away. But we do know that that those things actually do happen.
But Harold, you're right. No case is pristine at all. But at the end of the day, this person is missing from our community. We have verified this information with law enforcement, and what we want to do is to get them back to a safe environment. It may not be their home, especially if it's a child who left voluntarily from an abusive relationship, but we're trying to get them off the streets and into a safe environment and to provide them with the resources that they need to be rehabilitated. Mm. So our job is not to, find fault. Our job is to find the missing person. We're not here to judge anyone at all, but if a missing person's case comes across our desk, we are going above and beyond to find that person. And then on the back end, we can work with getting them the counseling or the services that they need to be in a better situation.
Which brings me to my next point. Is there, because, and this is, I think this is the difference between the police and the media. From a media standpoint, from a reporter's point of view, if foul play is involved, that is a story that we are probably interested in. But if someone decides to, if a child runs away, or if an adult decides to leave because she no longer likes her husband or he no longer likes his wife, and that, and just doesn't decide to tell the family. Those are very, very different circumstances, and we do know that those kinds of things happen. And this is the thing that I get to, and one of the things that over the time that I've covered these things, and this has always been very difficult for reporters. And let's take the case of children. As a black reporter, this has often been, my frustration, particularly working for mainstream media when my bosses are white. And when I go into the newsroom and I say, we should cover this because this is a black child who is missing. And they give me, because they trust me, because I have built a reputation for being a reliable reporter. And then I go and I do the shoe leather footwork, because the mother or the father says, little Susan or little Bobby would never run away, because we are the best parents that we can possibly be. And the truth of the matter is that Susan and or Bobby has indeed run away. And when they do, and when we go to the police, and the police have used their resources, and then we find out, we make the call, and the police said, well, the child has been found safe. And then we begin to probe, and they say, well, that's all we can tell you. And then we call the parent, and we say, the child has been found safe. Well, can you give us more? Well, we're just glad the child has been found. And then they shut down. That happens for all families, black and white, and families of color. But as a black reporter, when I go in to fight the good fight in a predominantly white newsroom, that has often been my decades long frustration, because when I leave that discussion, That's the fight that I'm fighting, because when I have spoken to the Natalies and the Derrickas, and I say, I'm going to go in and fight because I believe what you are doing, and it doesn't pan out and the family shuts down and the police don't give us that information, then it makes me look bad. But then on the other hand, and we can go all the way back to the Atlanta child murders, that's the shoe that's on that. That's the other side of that coin, where we had black children missing, and there are still questions as to whether or not Wayne Williams was indeed responsible for all of those missing children and all of those children. And so this is not a judgment, but this is an observation, you know, that is interwoven with facts. And this is kind of, I think, the push me, pull you, the struggle that you two deal with, that black reporters deal with, who believe in the mission, and that we also deal with as reporters with limited resources and so many hours in the day, because the next day there's another story that we have to deal with because we only have a day, and the limited resources with that police deal with, in addition to biases and prejudices and all of those things. Am I on point here?
Well, again, Harold, we have to take all cases seriously.
Yeah.
And we do our due diligence to investigate these cases based on the information that we have. But we also hear from families all the time that their loved one was classified as missing, especially their child, and they didn't run away.
Yeah. What?
You know, so we just need to do a better job, and we need to get away from these stereotypes that's really hampering many of the investigations or getting coverage for these missing individuals.
Because there are so many people who are missing, and I noticed that you have the you have people like John Walsh, who is the founder of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and I just wonder, when you talk about media, because there's so much information and indeed so much, so many people who are missing. Is it a stretch to say maybe it is it time for a missing persons TV channel on cable? Because what do you believe is the media's responsibility in the reporting of missing children? Because let's just take the DMV. Do every day a new child goes missing, at least one, but probably more in the District of Columbia. Every day in Prince George's County, a child goes missing, if not more. Every day in Montgomery County, every day in Charles County, in Fairfax County, Prince William County. I could literally fill up my entire newscast with a new person of color. And not just children, but adults. What do you believe is the responsibility of the media in doing the due diligence to report on this and not to ignore people of color who are missing? If you had your druthers, if you could say that you would be satisfied with the kind of attention that the media could provide for people of color who go missing?
Well, as we said, less is more. Let's get more of our missing on these local and national media outlets, because it's so vital. And I'll share a story with you. We were able to get a family on The View, in addition to Sean Wilkerson's family. And within 14 minutes of that show airing, someone called us with a tip that led right to Michelle Green, who was missing, and she was reunited with her family in an hour. So media coverage is vital in this fight to help us find our missing, and utilizing any platform. You mentioned a TV show. Any platform that could help us bring awareness and help us get the word out is needed, because we can't wait for the normal news cycle. We can't wait for the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock news cycle either. We can't wait for an assignment desk editor to make the decision. That's why we utilize social media. It's instantaneous, and it reaches a vast audience.
I'm not familiar with that case. Where was she?
She was in a shelter in New York. But it's just the power of that media, how it can help bring awareness to. And someone knows something, and it just shows, again, how media coverage is vital. And I understand your concerns and your frustration, but everyone didn't leave voluntarily. And since the pandemic, we have seen an uptick in our cases. And there's definitely an issue that's affecting our communities.
I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, if I can add this to all the listeners out there, just to put everything into perspective. Imagine you misplacing your keys or your wallet.
Which happens frequently.
Yes, or your cell phone. You are in a panic. Your anxiety is through the roof. Now multiply that times a million when someone has a missing loved one. And then couple that with the fact that law enforcement is not taking the case seriously, or the media refuses to shine a spotlight on that missing individual. Just let that sink in for just a second, because this is the closest you're going to be able to relate to a family that has a missing loved one if you've never experienced that. So these families are desperate. And I think not just highlighting the missing individuals in our community, but we have to be proactive. We're stronger together. We have to protect them. What can we do to protect them from going missing? You know, with our children, we have to have those uncomfortable conversations. We have to be their parent and not their friend. You know, so we have to get back to the basics. And then what about with law enforcement and the media? We need to encourage the next generations to pursue careers in law enforcement and media so there's more diversity and that they can be those change agents that we desperately need to see.
Yeah, and you know, and as we know, there is a difficult, and I don't think that I'm overstating the matter, a difficult or uneven movement within law enforcement to be more culturally sensitive to issues as it relates to race, even as they battle the other issues where they have been imperfect on that issue. And I think that on one issue, you may have these issues related to race in the police department, but also there are issues related to gender and youth culture. Because, one person's black at 40 is not the same person's black at 25. And so being able to understand the various and sundry generational languages and the like, I think that really kind of speaks to, to the holistic part of reimagining police, and certainly that's a different kind of conversation. But I think that you are right in looking at the issue of culture and people of color, and and understanding how we might be able to better listen to each other and not be dismissive when we have, you know, issues related to, you know, to missing people. But I think that, you know, again, there is a difference. Most people, at least from, and I speak, you know, from, you know, media's perspective, a lot of times when people think that someone is missing, the first thing that comes to mind is that you know, somebody has, you know, taken them, and that is not always the case. It may be a health related thing, physical health, or it could indeed be mental health. Or,
well, I think whatever the case is, they're missing. And again, I think that's why it's so important for our organization to exist. And we've been doing this for nearly 14 years because families, they need us. When everyone else turns their back on them, we are there for them. And we're going to continue to be there. And again, that's why we're so elated that Soledad decided to partner with us to talk about the issues, to give everyone a bird's eye view on the issues that these families face every single day. And we are hopeful that when all the viewers watch it, that they will walk away feeling hopeful, empowered, the families. And then also it brings about change because we really need to change the narrative on how these cases are handled. We need to change the mindset and the narrative on how the media perceive these cases. No matter what the cause of them going missing, their lives matter.
Derricka, after 14 years, and the same for you, Natalie, what have you two learned about yourselves?
This is bigger than us. This is bigger than us.
And I've learned to be resilient. I've learned that we have to just to continue to go forward. As Derricka mentioned, this is bigger than us, but When we are tired and we can't, you know, mm-hmm. we may want to give up or take a break. We can't because these families need us. And then when we have these cases where it says found safe, I mean, that's why we're doing the work. So we are very persistent and resilient because we stand with these families and we're fighting with them to bring their missing loved ones home because they become our family. And we, you know, many times we're all that they have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just to add on to what Natalie said, mm-hmm. we identified an issue in our community. And in order to correct the problem, you must be willing to be the solution. Mm. And that's what we are. We're the solution to these families.
What do you, at the end of this four-part series, and I'm really, you know, looking forward to watching it. I'm going to stream it because I can't just wait. I can't watch. You know, I can't wait 4 days or 2 days. Where I got to watch it all at once. But Derricka, what in the end, without really giving away, you know, the whole thing, what do you want people to come away with that they did not know, you know, before? And also, who is this for? Who is this series for?
And this is a wake-up call. This series, again, is a bird's eye view on what these families are going through. It's allowing people to see the struggles. And for everyone on the media side, on law enforcement side,
in our community, how it's important for all of us to work together. We are stronger together. And to be completely honest with you, Harold, Natalie and I decided not to watch the series. We want to watch it with everyone else. So we want to be just as surprised as all the viewers out there, with the exception of one when we went to our premiere last week. But we want to sit there and we want to experience with everyone else and then have those conversations afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we go about implementing change together?
Mm-hmm. And Natalie, based on, even though you haven't seen it, you know, but you are both in it and of it, as they mm-hmm. say. What do you want to see come out of this? And go ahead.
Well, a couple of things, Harold. To know that we make up 40% of the missing population, that should be eye-opening to anyone who's looking at the series. But a couple of takeaways. I hope that it furthers the conversation in the newsrooms
mm-hmm.
so that they take these cases seriously and they're covering more cases of color, that law enforcement, we are really challenging them to take a look at their practices, take a look at themselves and how they're classifying these cases, because it's really impacting the urgency and adding resources to the cases. And for our community, we are in this fight together. We are an ally and we can do so much more. If you are aware of the issue, first of all, and all of us have social media, if you like these profiles that come across your desk or your social media platform, help it to go viral. Don't wait until it goes viral. Help these cases to go viral and share them within your community, because again, someone must know something. But again, we all have a responsibility, and that is law enforcement, the media, and our community to help find and bring awareness to our missing.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Natalie Wilson and Derica Wilson. And by the way, you people may wonder, are you two sisters? You are sisters-in-law.
That is correct.
Yeah, not yep. sisters, but you're sister-in-law. So
we're actually sisters. Look, we're past that sister-in-law.
Yeah, but see, don't let's not get it twisted, sisters. We got because are they sisters? Or are they sisters?
Yeah, well, we're sister-in-law.
Yeah, okay. You got to help me. Please help me. Because I really don't want to get in trouble. Natalie, Derica, congratulations. Good luck to both of you. Be safe. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You
happy
too.
Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you so much. That is Bye-bye. The Daily Drum for this Monday, November 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.